All right, thank you for being here again tonight. Jeremiah is going to be our starting point. And before last week we had Friend Day. So Sunday night we preached on something a little different. But I was in a series, and I'm finishing it tonight, on social media and technology and our usage of it. And you say, Pastor, are you trying to beat a dead horse? No, I don't have time for that or energy. But the more I see things, how we interact with one another is vitally important. The Bible does tell us that if we hate our brother, right, we don't love God. So if we love God, we ought to be able to get along with each other. Now, having said that, as soon as it comes to my mouth, like, that's a lot harder than you know, just get along with everybody. I know. It takes effort. It takes time. But it just seems in our day and age, particularly with the division in our country and so forth, we've kind of bought into this divisiveness and taking it public everywhere we go. And I want to help us with that. It's funny, I had this ready a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. I had all my 10 points. I wanted to go over principles, I think, related to this. But the verses to start are verses I've just read or seen in the past few weeks, because how we interact with one another and the words we use towards one another. If you read through your Bible, it's everywhere. It's just everywhere. And it's tough. The book of James tells us that if we could control our tongue, we would be a mature person. That's hard. Okay. You know why he says your tongue and not some other deal? Because that's the hardest one. I mean, you know, as soon as we think we got it down, we say something. As soon as it leaves our lips, it's like, I wish I could grab that and bring it back, but you can't. That's just how it is. And so I want us to look at it. We started off with looking at the book of Galatians, where we are commanded to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the problem with the lust of the flesh is it's always looking for an opportunity and an outlet. A way to be able to show itself. And it just so happens that when it comes to technology and our social media in particular, that it has found an outlet. And we sometimes let the flesh take over and we let our fingers do the typing and we hit that send in the heat of the moment when we should have maybe thought about it before we hit send. And that could be on social media, that can be an email, that can be a text, all those different things. And so I want to help us, and we'll finish it up tonight. This scripture is in chapter 18. That's a story where God has sent Jeremiah down to the potter's house, and that's a message for another day. But Jeremiah gets this message that God has for him, and Jeremiah is supposed to deliver it to God's people. If you'll look in chapter 18, if you left it open from our scripture reading, verse 11, he said, "Now therefore go to, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now, every one, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good." God sent the prophet because judgment was coming, but he sent them to tell him what was going and what was coming. And they didn't always take to the message. Look at verse 12. "And they said, There is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices. And we will, everyone, do the imagination of his evil heart." At least they knew their heart was evil. Give them some credit. But they're like, we ain't listening. We're doing what we want to do. And because they fought against the message, they fought against the messenger, Jeremiah. By the way, his message wasn't popular, and I'll be honest with you, I would have struggled with his message. Because his message was, the king of Babylon is coming, he's going to fight against our nation, and we're supposed to give in. Don't fight him. That wouldn't go over very well in our day. I'm just telling you, I'd have a hard time, I'd struggle with that. Now, God sent him and taught him why they were doing that. It was a punishment for their some of the years that they didn't keep there, and some of the Sabbaths and so forth. But so he wasn't popular. So they took it out on him. Look at verse 18. And the point of this is how they took it out on him. "Then they said, Come, and let us devise devices against Jeremiah." We're going to attack him personally. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Then look what it says. Come and let us smite him with the tongue. And let us take heed, let us not give heed to any of his words. One of the ways they attacked him was with their words. They were cruel. They were mean-spirited. They weren't going, not only were they not going to heed his words, they were going to hurt him with their words. You say, oh, come on. Words can't be hurtful, right? We teach our kids, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. That's a lie. That's just a lie. How many of you have ever, you don't raise your hand if you want to, but how many of you have ever, someone said something about you or to you or myth, and it's been hurtful, right? Okay, that's life. Words are hurtful. This verse here, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, this ought to be in the forefront of our heart every time we open our mouth, and unfortunately for many of us, we struggle with it. Thank you for James tells us about that. Proverbs 18, 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's pretty heavy. You can say something that can deflate and hurt somebody. But on the flip side, you can say something that will energize and help somebody. And it says, he says at the end of the verse, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Those that understand that their words have that much power, use them in a fruitful and not a fractional way. They do it to help somebody. Every time we get onto our social media or however we do it, you can just apply this to talking to people. You say, well, the Bible doesn't talk about social. It does. Because the principles are our words. We use our words in many, many different ways, right? The written page, the texting, whatever it is. It's still our words. And it falls under these guidelines. But so whenever we get on social media or text or email or whatever we're doing, just talking one to another, we have a choice. We have a choice either to use our words in a helpful way or we can use our words in a hurtful way, right? And so we have to make the right choice. And the point I've made early on is that it just seems that with Christians, the second we get on our devices, it seems like the principles of Christianity are just chucked out the window. And it's like every man for himself. And it ought not to be that way. And so we're going to give you some principles. I gave you the first six, the principle of glory, unity, morality, sight, association, and slander. It took four messages to do six. I'm doing four tonight. But they're much quicker, and I think they'll help us. And understand where I'm coming from. I want us to be in a good place as Christians and not be not be hurtful and also not be taken in by those who would be hurtful. It's kind of both sides of the road, as it were. This one is number seven, is the principle of conversation. Conversation. I'm using the word conversation in a biblical sense. The word conversation in the Bible typically means your manner of life, the way you live, your lifestyle. And so that's what we're talking about here. The lifestyle that you display through your technology and of those whom you follow through technology should line up with the lifestyle God commands us to have. That's important. Lifestyles matter. So it doesn't matter. No, because we're all following some examples. We talked about that this morning when we talked about heritage and what are we leaving behind when we're gone. But a lifestyle of an individual that we follow or that we endorse ourselves online is vitally important. It's amazing how people through their post or what they like will endorse things that they would not openly endorse. I don't think social media makes you what you are, but it gives you an outlet to become something. But it also shows sometimes where we're at. And so it can be helpful in that way if we'll allow it. And so, it's like, Pastor, I don't like some of the statements that you've said in here. And I'll be honest with you, I've got a lot of feedback, good. I don't like some of the statements either. I hear them. I have two speakers right here. But they're Christian statements, and I got to kind of like, oh, that hurts. Because I, you don't know. Look, I have to answer as a pastor particularly, I have to answer a lot of situations and things people ask me, and I don't know how many times I've like, someone texts me and I'm like, what? And I'm like, and I'm like, I read it, and I'm like, okay, erase it all but that first sentence. It's like, that just comes across harsh if I hit send. And sometimes I'm like, no, that's not how we do things. And I'm like, okay, that just sounds mean. It's like, yeah, sometimes I do send it, like, brother, but I try to look at emails. You know, I don't actually, on my computer, I'd like to dictate because I don't type very fast. But I'll get on there and like, that sentence needs to go. So we got to be very careful. We just get on there. But the problem is, if we're looking at, if it's a principle in the Word of God and we don't like it, that's fine. But we still need to follow it because our flesh doesn't like it. My flesh doesn't like it. But it's like, that's what God wants. I got to go at it. Look at Ephesians chapter, you can turn there if you want. I'll read it for you. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. He says, and you hath he quickened. Quickened means to bring back to life, who are dead in trespasses and sin. He's talking about before we were saved. Before we were saved, we were sinners, and our soul was dead in trespasses and sin. But quickened means to be brought back to life. When we were saved, our soul, which was dead in trespasses and sin, has been brought back to life, and that's our spiritual life and in our eternal life. Verse 2, wherein in time past, before we were quickened, brought back to life, ye walked, another word which means the way you live, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation, our manner of life, in times past in the lust of the flesh. If you got saved a little later in life, you understand this. Because you probably had a life that did not match up with the scripture. And so you understood when you got saved and you came in and God started working in your life, you're like, hey, these things were things that were not of God. They're not good. And through the Spirit of God and the Word of God, you worked on it. That's our manner of life in times past. But brethren, if he's talking about that's how we were in times past, then by inference, we should not be that in times present. Right? If it's in the past, he's saying in a sense like that's how you were, but you shouldn't be. I like the phrase in Acts, and such were some, I think it's in Acts, right? And talking to these new believers, and such were some of you. That's how you were before. But now you're saved and God's working in your life and you're no longer like that. Philippians chapter 1 verse 27 says, only let your conversation, manner of life, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. You know, that becomes you. That's part of you. That matches you. That fits, right? And so our manner of life ought to fit the gospel of Christ. That'll be able to look at our life and say, that life matches up with Christ. It matches up with what a Christian would do. And that's something we all strive for, right? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, here's someone that struggled with it, Lot. And he delivered just Lot. Now, Lot was, Sodom and Gomorrah, that whole thing. But God delivered him, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Although Lot was saved, he was a just man. He was living in a society that was so wicked, God had to destroy it. But he was living there, and it vexed his soul, that lifestyle that he saw, that he saw was wicked. And you read Genesis, and you'll figure it out. For that righteous man, verse 8 of 2 Peter 2, dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with his unlawful deeds. Did you see that? He was saved. The word vexed literally means tortured. He was saved, but because of the stuff he was seeing and hearing in Sodom and Gomorrah, it tortured his soul. Because who he was and what he should have been was not happening because of what he was seeing and what he was hearing. Same thing's true when we're online. If we're seeing and hearing things that are of a conversation that doesn't become the gospel, that is more the type of conversation of somebody before they trusted Christ, then it's going to bother us as well. And it should. Now, have you ever noticed, and I want to be a little bit more specific about this, have you ever noticed, because you'll go online and there are people that are critical of Christians that try to live a godly lifestyle. Now, I'm not trying to be mean-spirited here. That's not me. But what is their lifestyle? That's why they hide in anonymous accounts. A meme. We talked about that, and I think you got my spirit on that last time. I think you're a coward if you do memes. A coward. Step forward. You know, they get on these things, we're reforming this or reforming that. I'm not talking about reformation of theology. I'm just saying, you know, I've gone away from this type of Christianity. Well, who are you? What church do you go to? And I don't have time to fight that stuff. I don't. I know some of the brethren want to read all that stuff and be up on. I don't. I don't have time. I want to hear good stuff. But they hide behind that. And it's like, because you know what? They don't want your brethren to see their lifestyle. And I'm not saying we judge someone's lifestyle. Do not get me wrong. But I'm saying if they're going to be critical of people who are trying to live right, then don't hide behind a lifestyle that does not match up with the scripture. Hey, you want to criticize me, you can find a lot of things. Talk to my wife. Hopefully she won't say anything, okay? Talk to my, I'm not perfect. But man, you know, let me know what you're doing too. Why don't we just leave that off? Look, when somebody is perfect, let me know. I want to meet them. I want their autograph. But we're always looking and nitpicking at things. Well, I just don't like your type of church. You're a little more conservative, and you're a little more morally to the right. Okay, then go somewhere else. And I'm not telling you to go somewhere else. I don't want you to go anywhere else. I don't want you all to be here. But you understand what I'm saying. Why would you, if you don't like this type of church, then you go to another church, have at it, but don't criticize where you just came from. Okay? You go do what you want to do, what you feel God wants you to do, and we'll do what we feel God wants us to do, and we'll sort it out later. But I'll never understand that. Using that to fight. I'm not going to fight. And I know, you know, Baptists, we like to fight. I ain't got time for that. Okay, now if someone's trying to bring something in the church, I'll put the gloves on. Let's go. Because we got to keep this right. But I can't fight everybody. Now I'm gonna do what I can to leave a right thing, but they want to fight. What's their lifestyle like? By the way, listen to the way they talk. It's like, man, you just got your rap album out. And I get it. I'm a boomer, right? Hey, boomer. Okay, whatever. You know, Gen Z, Y, X, now we have to come up with new stuff. Okay, that's fine, but listen, we don't have to talk like the, we don't have to always find the latest words. You know, it's like they like snap into this thing. Let's just be right. What are we looking at? What are we doing online? You'll find a lot of times that a critical person, they're not the person that's being criticized isn't the problem. It might be the person being critical. And as I mentioned in another point, and I'm not going to rehash it, I already said it, what good does it do to fight that battle publicly? It doesn't. It gives a black eye to the name of Christ. But what we do is those that maybe don't want a higher standing or living want to tear down those that do. Now let me use the other side. Can I get to their side and then we'll move on? Sometimes those that maybe are seeking to live a higher standard of living, we're just as critical towards those that we think don't match up. That's not your job. So when did you become the source of all wisdom? You know, we want to look at somebody, oh, right up to what? That's between them and God. A little bit quieter on this one. We're chasing people away because we have a mean spirit. Okay? That doesn't help anybody. I mentioned it before. I won't give the complete story. But when I went to Bible college, one of the teachers didn't like the way I looked. And I was talking with my friends about the bus route, and I didn't even know this guy. And he walked up to me, was sitting there, and said, God's never going to use you because of the way you look. And I'm a Bible college student. Can I just tell you something? That didn't impress me at all. I'm like, who are you? Now I didn't say it out loud. And by the way, he embarrassed me in front of my friends. But I had another teacher there to give the balance. I walk in one time, it was freezing cold, you know, well, when I came from California, anything under 60 is freezing, right? And I'm walking there, and the teacher drove by us in his car, and he stopped and backtracked. I'm like, uh-oh, did I do something wrong? He backtracked, he rolled his window down. He goes, hey, anybody tell you they love you today? I'm like, no. He goes, I love you. Window up, took off. By the way, that impressed me. He was trying to be kind. Let's be very, very careful that we don't. Sometimes we're mean-spirited, and what we do is we do it under the guise of standing for God. You know, he said, well, you know, people don't like me because of my stand for God. No, they don't like you because you're not likable. Okay. We don't need spiritual virtual signaling. Now, let me just say this before we move on. I understand that some unsaved people aren't going to like Christianity and they're going to say things, right? Okay, they don't know Jesus. I mean, what do you want me to do? They're not my enemy. It's not flesh and blood. But we have to understand. But the problem is when Christians are battling. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 1, I'm going to read a few verses. I think this principle kind of applies to this. The lawsuits. Remember, the Christians were going to law against one another instead of just working it out amongst themselves. And Paul got on them. In verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 6, he says, dare any of you having a matter against another go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? Verse 6, but brother goeth to law with brother. And that before the unbelievers. That's the big one. Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you. Because you go to law one with another, why do you not rather take long? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Do you understand the principle there? He said, you're going to court. They know you're Christians fighting each other. These people are unbelievers. They're going to see you fighting and think, hey, that Christianity thing's not legit. He says, why don't you just rather suffer wrong? And yet we run on social media sometimes and we want to fight somebody. Somebody says something and we want to fight them. Okay? And I mentioned before, there was a couple of folks I knew and probably about 3 years ago, and they started snipping back and forth. Good people. They were snipping back and forth at each other online. When somebody posted, oh, yeah, and they just like, no, 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 no. And I DM'd and said, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, you guys, you need a phone call. Don't do that online. Don't do that on your social media, please. And they took it down. But we do this stuff, we have to understand that people are watching us. Look, I'm not willing to fight you publicly if that's going to hurt Christ. I'll just let it go. Number 8. That one was probably a little bit of longer ones. I'll finish up here. The principle of deceit. The principle of deceit. If you're not careful, it is very easy to be lied to online. Everybody, it's like, you pick a subject and throw it out there online, and you'll get 100 different opinions, right? It's like this, oh, well, what about that? What about this? What about that? What about that? And by the way, in sometimes in debates, people throw stuff out there that's not necessarily true, or they're juicing the numbers or whatever, and you can't really prove. It's just, that doesn't help anybody. Proverbs 14:15 says, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his doing. I'm going to try not to make a formulated opinion about something or somebody without looking into it, right? If I talk to people and it's like, hey, this is what's going on, and that person, I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to check that. If you've ever counseled with me over the years, I'll do it. I'm going to check into it, okay? I want to make sure. I mean, I learned that from a pastor. Like, he'd call us and like, hey, what's up? Well, you know, I didn't do that because so-and-so said. He goes, wait right here. He brings so-and-so up. Like, okay, where was the, not that we were in trouble or lying, it's just like, where was the disconnect? Let's find out where the problem was if something didn't get handled that we were supposed to get done. And so let's not just believe everything. The simple person just hears something and just automatically believes it. And that's our society in a nutshell. That's what, if we heard it online or we saw it on something or heard it in this, it's just naturally true. That's how we tend to be because it seems to be a voice of authority. But we need to be careful. It's hard to make a judgment on something if you've only heard one side of the story. You got to hear everything. And some people are good at taking a smidge of truth. And then you look at the whole story or look at the situation, not even necessarily online is not what I'm talking about. I'm thinking of some things. And you say, wait a minute, that's not completely how it happened. That's not completely what's going on. We're human. We have a tendency to do that. The fact of the matter is, if someone is bringing their business out in the public, it's not a story worth listening to. It's really a sad tale of why are we doing that online? Why don't we get together and talk to one another? Okay? And so that's very important. God wants us to be unified in the church, but we can also be lied to by the things that we hear. John chapter 8, verse 44, he tells us that the main characteristic of Satan is he's a liar. He is. He's a liar. He is flat out does not tell the truth. And so if we don't know the truth, we make these split decision things. You know, you knew it. Like when you're younger, you hear your friend like talk about somebody else, and it's like, you thought that person was a good person. Whether or not you even believed it, the next time you were around that person, what they said was ringing in your ears. It's like, is this person really like that? So we have to be very, very, very careful. Let's not buy into the deceit. Sometimes the things we're following or watching online, they even lie to us about the life, right? It makes something that God despises look desirable. Satan always has done that, right? He makes sin look good. Because he doesn't let you see the consequences. You know, everything looks great. You watch a commercial, I wouldn't watch them, but you watch some alcohol commercial, they'll look great. The people I've seen that drink, they don't look like that. Okay, it doesn't look like that. It doesn't end up like that. It'll make things that are wrong look right. It'll make things that are false look true. Things that are good look bad. So be careful. You can be lied to by the things that you see. Number 9, the principle of graciousness. Several of these principles, if we just bought into them, like particularly the first two, unity and the glory of God, we would have a lot less issues in our life. The principle of graciousness. God has already prescribed a way that Christians ought to interact with one another. Okay? It's in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. And be ye kind one to another. Kind. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. And he even gives us the example. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Yeah, but this person was mean to me. This person was wrong. How many of you have ever sinned in your life? Ever? Okay, if you didn't raise your hand, you're lying. So you prove my point. We all are sinners, right? Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We don't deserve that. But he gave it to us. Is our goal to be proven right? Or is our goal to be a gracious Christian? And if our goal is about us, now, if someone has went, there are times when you need to deal with something. You understand that. I'm talking about the stuff we throw out there online. We post stuff about another person because sometimes we want it to say something about them, not realizing it says more about us. We've already looked at the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So run your post, run the things you say to each other, run the things you text, run all of that through that filter and tell me if it stands up. You say, Pastor, have you always nailed it? Nope. I'm trying to. I'm a lot better at it than I was earlier on in my life. Is it described by that? If you're acting in an ungracious way, it's probably because, and I'm not trying to be mean, let's think this through. It's probably because we're thinking in an ungracious way. And by the way, we all do. Don't look at me like, I know, Pastor, I'm perfect. Well, you live on a different planet. Somebody does something, I don't think graciously first. I think, payback. I'll show them. But we have to let that slide out and not go with that first impulse and say, now what would be the right thing to do? The mind's already told me the wrong thing to do, so let me backtrack and what should I do? Be gracious. Be gracious. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Try that filter. That working? Ask a couple questions. Do you follow? Do the things you follow, I'm not even talking about saying it now, violate any of those verses? And I'm not kidding. I don't do Instagram anymore. I have an account. On my phone, I accidentally open it up, and I'm like, oh, here's some DMs, or people, if you DM me or sent me something special, you know, on Instagram, and I don't look at it, it's because I don't look at Instagram. Because I have a lot of people there I follow, and I don't want to see the stuff they're posting, and I don't want to have a bad spirit. Okay? But there's no reason to follow something that's godless. There's not. You know, I'm probably offended some of my relatives, like, I just unfollow. I don't want to, not that I don't love people, but I just don't want to see that stuff. Okay? It's their mind. I don't want it in my mind. I've got to be very careful. And the thing that, you know, and probably had too much time when I first got on it. I don't know. And you see it's some weird post, and it's like, it gives you the first line of people who liked it. And I'm like, why did that person like that? That's godless. Because that's my cousin. I didn't say you need to get up on a soapbox and say your cousin's of the devil, but why do you have to like it? Okay? People watch that stuff. And even if they don't, what does that say about us? Let's be very, very careful. I want to like, that's why I'm really, I don't do all of it. I know there's a new one every, there's a new flavor every month, this or that, you know. Maybe you'll think of the next social media and be a billionaire and you can pay for the next building, okay? That'd be great. But it's like, I like where I can curate what I want to hear. I want good news from churches and people I know and pastors and other Christians and a little bit of news, because even too much news, I'm still suicidal. You know, all that stuff. I want stuff that when I get done, like, I'm not like, you know, like, you know, okay. I want good stuff. I want gracious stuff. Number 10. Look at that. We're going to be done before 1800. They need to fix that clock, okay? I was never in the military. I was good at math, so 18 was like, oh, 9:30, we'll be done. Here's one, and this is a biblical thing, but it's just something practical. The principle of control. The principle of control. Here's the principle of control. Could the amount of time you spend with technology be deemed addictive? Right? I have an iPhone, and look, they lost. No, okay. I can go on here, and there's a thing, I forget the name of it, Brother Ross, you probably know, because he spends all of his time on YouTube, where, screen time? I'm sorry, did I wake you up? Thanks for coming. Okay, and it tells you how much time you've been on this thing. Not only that, Lucero, don't call me. And not only that, it'll tell you what apps you spent the most time on. I dare you to look at it. The last time I looked at it, and it's usually more. I think they had me down for close to, it was like, that week was like 51 minutes. And I'm probably on it a little bit more because I use it for work. And like over 30 minutes of that was texting. I was texting my girlfriend. My wife's my girlfriend, thank you. But a lot of work stuff. And maybe I spend a little bit more. But be very careful, because it can be addictive, right? Here's the verse, 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Just because something is not wrong, lawful, there's nothing wrong with this. Unless you own an Android, okay? Just kidding. Just because something is not wrong doesn't mean it's not profitable. That's what expedient means, okay? This is profitable to me. My computer is profitable to me. It saves me a ton of time, literally. But be very careful, because it can get to the point where it's no longer profitable. It's prohibiting. Spending way too much time on social media with technology is not profitable. And knowing way more things about things you don't know about is a waste of time. Right? It was Einstein. They asked him one time, I forget what the question was. It was a real simple question that, you know, Einstein, genius, right? Him and IRQ was like really close. Mine was only off by about 100. And they asked him something. He goes, I don't know. They're like, how would you not know that? He goes, I'm not going to waste mental energy memorizing something that I could look up in a book in 2 minutes. Now, I heard someone say, there he goes, you know, I used to know a lot more facts. He goes, I don't know everything because I can Google it, right? Hey, Google, what's this? Hey, that saves space in your head. And some of you do have extra space. You probably could store some things in there. That'd be good. We don't need to know every single issue. Just because something is not wrong, lawful, as the verse said, doesn't mean it's not controlling. You want to prove it? I was going to say, take a cell phone away from your child, but of course, I would never give my child a cell phone. Ever. Why? I don't want to pay for it. I'm a tightwad. They don't need it. When they graduate from high school, guess what they get? They get a cell phone. They don't need it. Be a teenager. Don't waste all your time looking at that thing. I saw there was two surveys I want to quote, and we're just about done. This year, there's a survey that showed that the average person spends 3 hours and 15 minutes on their phone each day. That's the average person. By the way, Filipino ministry, they were actually the most. They did it by nation. Sorry about that. Salamat. We're all good. Salamat. Okay. They spend the most. 3 hours and 15 minutes. You want something else that'll shock you? They just did a survey, and it came out in May. Children, teenagers, 11 to 18, their average digital media, 10 hours. That doesn't include television. They don't need television. You watch it on YouTube. That's ridiculous. You say, Pastor, I don't believe any of that. Okay, next time you go to a restaurant, look at the table next to you. I am a serious tightwad. If we're going out to a restaurant to eat, don't bring your phone. If you want to be on your phone, we'll go to Taco Bell. We went out one time with Gary. He took us, Gary, my son-in-law. And we went out to a real fancy, high-end restaurant. He's like, took some of us out. I mean, it wasn't fancy, but it wasn't you know, Olive Garden. He goes, all right. He goes, everybody put your phone down in the middle. He goes, I will pay for dinner unless you touch your phone. If you touch your phone, you're paying for everybody. Now, I was here, and my wife was right across the table. And every time my wife went to itch her nose, I was like, am I right? Am I lying? That's not preaching. I'm telling the truth right now. Like, I am not paying for this restaurant, sister. No. So your dog just had puppies. Who cares? Okay. So let's be very careful. If we're spending too much time on it, it can control us. What's the point? I'm trying to help us really just to be better at being a Christian. So let me just briefly restate the principles. We're done. We said the principle of glory. What does that mean? Don't post, like, or follow anything that does not glorify God. That would, by the way, that would, if we got that one, let's go home. We're good to go. The principle of unity. Don't post, like, or follow anything that would cause dissension between believers. The principle of morality. Don't post, like, or follow anything that promotes immorality or causes temptation. And by the way, you know how it is. They try to troll you, right? You know, someone starts to like you. Oh, I got a new follower. Like, who that? And I'm like, no, they are not following me. That was free. The principle of sight. Don't post, like, or follow anything that would feed the lust of the flesh, because a lot of times the lust of the flesh is filtered through sight. The principle of association. Don't post, like, or follow anything from those whom God directs us to avoid. The principle of slander. Don't post, like, or follow anything hurtful about other people. The principle of conversation. Don't post, like, or follow anything from those who live disobedient lifestyles. I'm not saying we hate them. But we see that stuff, and it starts to cause conflict in our own soul, like Lot. The principle of deceit. Don't post, like, or follow anything that is not truthful or follows the principles of this world. The principle of graciousness, don't pulse like or follow anything that is unkind and of a bad attitude. Then lastly, the principle of control. Don't allow yourself to become a slave to or dominated by your use of technology. By the way, if the last thing you do before you go to bed is look at this, I usually do because I'm putting it on this charger though, okay, so there's that. But the first thing I do when I get up, I don't look at this. I don't. And maybe you need to, your job. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, look at you. Hey, is this really starting to dominate my life? Whatever happened to talking to people? If I talk to people, I text them all the time. Okay. It's like, all right, let's stand together this evening. Let's just stand together. If I were to give this just one blanket statement to help us, here it is. Be a Christian in your technology and your social media. If you wouldn't stand out in the hallway of the foyer of the church with everybody out there and say it vocally to everybody because you'd hurt somebody, then don't say it online. Right? Let's just watch what we do. And I get it. Our emotions come into play. I'm there. But always reread what you're doing before you hit send. Give it some time. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for your word. I pray, Father, you would help us to have the type of relationships you want us to have. Help us to rebuke our flesh and help us to walk in the Spirit. And Lord, help our social media, our technology, our interpersonal relationships to reflect our love for Christ and love for the brethren. Piano's going to get play. If God spoke to you about anything, why don't you come? I don't think we're all sinners, but maybe we just say, no, I just need to be careful about this. Maybe I need to be careful about my children. Be careful that they're not just constantly on something. Let's use it for good. Let's use it as a tool for righteousness.